Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Drunk Women will be downing Prosecco at this year's Edinburgh Fringe. You can see them from the 3rd to the 11th of August inclusive, 7:20pm at the Underbelly, Bristow Square. Tickets are now on sale at underbellyedinburgh.co.uk.
Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Drunk Women.
Drunk Women Solving Crime. Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello!
Hiya!
Good evening! Yay! Welcome to Drunk Women Solving Crime Live. How are we? Very, very good to hear. I'm doing very well myself. Thanks for asking. Except, do you see what I'm wearing, everybody? That's right, it's a Drunk Women Solving Crime t-shirt. No, because Hannah and Katie promised that they would wear theirs, and it's like the trope in every bullying teen film, like, oh, we played her, didn't we? So like, nerdy McDick face.
Which is what we call her secretly.
Yes. Shows up in the merch and I'm all alone and cheers, mean girls. Anyway, it's great to have you here. Thank you so much for coming along. Give us a cheer if you've been here before. Woo! Give us a cheer if it's your first time.
Hello.
Oh, welcome, 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 strangers. All right. So if you've listened to the podcast, you know that we do this thing at the beginning where we say this is where this drink meets that. So fun fact on this, I found an article called Five Cocktails Only a Dickhead Would Order. And guess what? I had ordered three of them, like multiple times. So I chose those three for this. This is an honor of me being a dickhead. That's what this is all about. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Drunk Women Solving Crime. This is where dirty martinis meet dirty cops. This is where frozen daiquiris meet frozen assets. And this is where old fashions meet old Sparky. Electric chair. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Yay. I am joined. Oh my gosh. I am joined as always by two wonderful women. They've quickly become my friends and my confidants, even though they don't wear t-shirts when they say that they will. I'm joined by, on my right, a woman who once tried to stop time by throwing a clock across the room, and that was my clock. It's Hannah George! Yay! And to my left, a woman who converts yards to meters and then back again, it's Katie Wilkins! Yay! Right. I want to give a quick plug because we are drinking some pretty delicious Prosecco. It is called Princess Prosecco because we are, if nothing else, princesses, I think. Isn't that what you think of when you think royal family? It's this.
Oh, yeah.
Hi. It's really great. It's organic. It's gluten-free, and it's vegan. Well, I believe it's time to introduce our guest. It is none other than the fantastic presenter and all-round legend. It's Ulrika Johnson! Ulrika.
Yes?
Kick us off.
Oh, with...
We just get right in.
A song?
Can you sing?
Yes.
All right, well, we're going to have to do that now.
No, let's not do that now.
Do it later. Do it later once you've shared whether you have ever been the victim of a crime. Have you ever been the victim of a crime?
I was thinking about this on the way in and thinking, gosh, victim of crime, yes, I've had my wallet stolen, all those sort of things. Life-affirming.
The
things.
Life-affirming.
the rites of passage.
Yes, exactly. But I guess maybe... Phone hacking was probably...
Yeah, that's pretty big.
That's quite a big thing, isn't it?
That's a huge thing. Tell us about that. We're not important enough to have our phones hacked, so tell us what that's like.
Well, that's the bizarre thing. I guess anybody's life is exciting, but so I was working for the News of the World as their columnist, and it just so happened that sort of at that same time they were also... hacking my phone and...
Wow.
Yeah, and I genuinely feel really awkward talking about it in the sense that it feels like... obviously, we're aware of much more greater victims of phone hacking than a bloody weather girl or whatever. Do you know what I mean? But it was quite shocking, yes.
I bet.
Yeah, and to find out about it. I mean, I remember sitting in a room with... my lawyers, I don't own them, but they phoned me. And I actually thought it was, I just ignored it. I had calls for months saying, you know, you've been a victim of phone hacking.
Well, I get that for PPI, like.
Yes, do you know, it totally was like that. And I thought, well, this is definitely a catch. This is definitely somebody's trying to catch me out now. They're going to, so I just ignored it. Wow. And then in the end, I phoned some lawyers, my lawyers. And we sat in a room and then the evidence just like,
wow.
Phone calls, phone numbers, my mum's, you know, just the code for the gate to my house.
Like, oh my God.
I mean, it was quite.
That's dark.
Yeah. Oh, there's darker things.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to? I think we're allowed some darker things. Yeah. It's a true crime. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime.
It totally is.
Only if you feel comfortable sharing them, obviously.
No, it's fine. But it's kind of one of those things where I don't know if posing as a doctor on the ward where my daughter was having cardiac surgery and trying to get the details. Yeah, I mean, they're quite brave.
You can't see what we're doing, but our jaws are on our knees.
Oh, yeah, it's a podcast. I'm just going...
Wide mouth.
Jaw.
Very wide mouths.
Oh,
that is horrific.
Yeah.
That is so creepy and horrific.
Yeah. I think it's... I mean, it's
you're just like,
it's
such a bizarre...
You know, it's very bizarre.
Bygones,
no, but it's just
bygones.
Such a bizarre... It's so bizarre, you can't quite kind of fathom it. It's the stuff of... films and
well, and you're only finding it out in retrospect, so you're just sort of going like, oh, I remember that day.
I know. And then you wonder why you sort of have trust issues. Which I genuinely don't. I trust everyone except
but you were
Rocky.
Working for them as
their employee. I know. And this is going to sound very bizarre. My editor at the time was a guy called Andy Coulson, who I genuinely liked so much, him and his family. And of course he went ultimately to prison, not for hacking my phone. But it was very bizarre because I felt really close to him, and like not in any untoward way, but like really got on really well with him. It feels like one of those awkward things, because there's an exchange when you become famous that there's a part of you that you're supposed to sort of give up, but not really private conversations.
No, that's a line.
No. Well, that's cheered things up, isn't it?
No, it's good. Look, there's lows, there's highs.
Yeah.
We'll find the fucking laughs later. But this is, I can't get over this idea of having such a personal moment and one that's stressful because you're worried about someone's health, you're in hospital. Like, I can't think of a more personal moment and then to find out that there was a spy involved. Could you, can you think back and go, oh, I know who it was? No. Somebody was being suspicious?
Nope.
Or
no. Nope.
You gotta hope it wasn't the surgeon.
No, right. I think
Dr. Thomas, that's a butter knife.
I found out the other day, this is a little fact, that, I mean, probably people know this, but that brain surgery is done whilst you're awake.
Oh,
what? Yeah. Okay. Everyone knew that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, haven't you seen Hannibal? Apparently no one has. Awake. Really?
Yeah, so they know what they're doing if they're doing anything to
you. Yes, and they can go, is this bit working? Are you? They press on that.
Oh my God, that would just...
I'd be like, give me lots of drugs.
Yeah.
Don't quote me on that. But like pharmaceuticals, please.
What a line to take out of context. Not only did you want drink.
So one of the things we ask people when they share, thank you very much for sharing that. We say, what would you do if you could confront the perpetrator or perpetrators of this? So I guess in a sense, you know, people ended up in prison, but is there anything that you would say personally to any of them?
Did you get a chance to say anything to any of them?
No.
Okay.
No, I was kind of, I think I was just one of a very long list of people who was a target. And
Well, this is your chance, and you can say the C word, I'm just saying.
Okay.
Just saying.
Which is culpable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, it's cunt, ladies and
gentlemen. Crisps.
Crisps.
Gosh, I wouldn't know. I just genuinely wouldn't know what's. It's one of the. I just.
Really?
Really?
I like that.
But like, yeah, if you say it really sassy.
I mean,
like,
how
really?
Really? Like, sound how bite. Important am I? I cannot be that important, surely. There are more important things, but yeah. There you go.
Wowzers. Thank you so much for sharing that. That was really interesting to hear and so creepy. I just never knew it went to those depths of people posing as other people. That's going to haunt
me. Oh, and
they
also, a journalist turned up at my father's funeral. That was nice.
Fuck.
They sat in the church in Sweden. And my
in Sweden as well.
Yes, they traveled, they flew. They got flights and before budget airlines as well. So they were forked out for flights.
I mean, it's almost flattering.
Yes. Yes. Thank you for coming.
You did pay top dollar for me, so well done. Well done. So. Wait, you're the surgeon. This is... Good Lord. Ulrika, thank you so much. Are we ready to tackle a true crime case?
Yes, please.
Then? This is a true crime case about a woman called Nanny Doss, who had a lot of nicknames, two of which were Giggling Granny and Giggling Nanny.
Can I just say up top, she sounds great.
She giggles.
Yeah.
So with no information, any guess at what she might have been known for?
Strangling children?
Straight out.
Straight out of the gates.
Sorry, have I finished the podcast now? Is it over?
Not at all.
Oh, sorry.
I wish I could say no.
I'm
you're pretty close on one of them, that's not the main thing. That's no fun.
So, childcare
and giggling, I guess.
But we think she's a. What's the crime? What's the crime we're dealing with?
Start with
basics. Just basics.
Murder.
Yeah, she's a murderer.
Okay.
She's a murderer.
Yeah.
She was a serial killer who went on a spree.
Oh.
Which started in the 1920s and ended in 1954.
Shut the front door.
That's a very long spree.
It's a long spree.
I went on a shopping spree like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And it lasted 3 to 4 hours.
I feel like there's more, it's more than a spree. Like, how do you upgrade
that's
spree?
A lifestyle choice. Lifestyle choice.
A lifestyle choice. You're either on a spree or no, this is just your life.
madam. Actually, factually, a serial killer is somebody who kills more three or more people over a term of 30 days or more. And a spree killer is somebody who kills.
I genuinely thought she had phlegm in her throat. I was like, Hannah, just take
it. I was doing my
edit it out. Clear your throat.
I was doing my boring dad voice. Oh, I was like mansplaining,
that.
Basically.
No, I like that. I
but yeah, a spree killer is somebody who kills a lot of people within, like, a month or something. Any spree killers in?
Wait, so
yes.
God, it's the lady in the corner.
So she doesn't qualify as a spree killer.
She's a serial killer, but that is what Taylor said.
So serial was what?
Serial was like killing three or more people in like more
with
than 30 flakes? Days. 30 days or more.
See what I did there?
Oh, hello,
serial.
Cornflakes. So serial is within 30 days, no?
No, it's 30 days or more.
So it can be 30
deaths or more.
No, no, so it can be...
The time frame.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, so like if you've, it can be anything from 30 days to like 100, well, not 100 years, that's stupid, but like 50
yeah,
years or something.
Stupid.
So anything between then and there
is
serial killing. And then anything from here to 30 days is spree killing.
I love that we've got bogged down in the bureaucracy.
Yeah, that's really. Good.
I did try and get through it very quickly, so.
Sorry, that was weird.
It's just a new thing she's trying out. You got tired of butt stuff and you've moved on to
dad voice.
That's good. Killing me softly with cornflakes. Killing me softly. Okay, so based on her name, any guesses where we are? Nanny Doss.
Doss.
There's your hint. Nanny Doss.
Can you spell it for me?
D-O-double-S. Nanny Doss.
I feel like Taylor's accent gives it away, but I'm not sure what part of...
Doss. She lived inside Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, hello.
Doesn't sound so bad, does it?
No.
I mean, normally you don't want to go inside, but...
I wouldn't mind him living inside me. Am I right? Sort of worked in my head. And was like,
I'm so glad you didn't do the dad voice for that one.
Matthew McConaughey, I'd love to fuck him, yes.
Sorry.
Did you see Interstellar? What a film. Really nuanced writing and very scientifically accurate.
We're in Alabama. Let's not drag this out. We're in fucking Alabama.
Oh.
Fucking Alabama. For the record, my parents used to live in Alabama. Ooh.
Was your mom Nanny Doss?
Yes. I'm still here. And the unofficial state motto in Alabama was, well, thank God for Mississippi. Because they were the only state that made Alabama look good. And with the recent abortion bills, I think that's truer than ever. Okay, Nanny Doss was born Nancy Hazel in 1905 in Blue Mountain, Alabama. Do we think that serial killer Nancy Doss, Nanny Doss, had a happy childhood? Happy childhood?
No. Unlikely.
I'm going to go for yes, just to be different.
I like that. Wouldn't it be great if it was like, yeah, it was glorious, nobody understands.
Just like, this would be the whole like nature nurture thing.
Would that make you more or less afraid as a parent?
Well.
Because it's kind of like, it doesn't matter what we do. That's what I want the science to show. Do you know what I mean? Like, do you go looking for articles that just like exonerate you? From your parenting choices, because I do. I've literally Googled that, like, exonerate me from my parents. Anyway, that's another. She did not have a happy childhood. She had a horrible father who, quote unquote, ruled with an iron fist. How refreshing to hear about a tyrannical father. He forced his children to work on the farm that he owned, and he would think nothing of pulling them out of school. I mean, at first that sounds good, but then it's like farm work. No, that's pretty hard.
Yeah.
I just wish my parents had pulled me out of school sometimes. That's my stuff. So anyway, with education a low priority, Nanny only made it to the sixth grade. Also, when Nanny was 7 years old, an incident occurred which she would later blame all of her crimes on. Any guesses?
Her baby pet lamb was slaughtered by her father's iron fist.
Yeah. Wow.
That's good. Just guessing.
That would be traumatizing.
Hello, Clarice. Yeah, that's a very good guess.
I think she was maybe... What would make somebody be a serial killer? is the question you've asked.
Paw Patrol. Watching Paw Patrol. That's the answer. I don't know if I've done it within the 30 days or whatever, but... yeah. So any ideas?
I don't... Maybe she likes... A lot of the time of these things, somebody has hit their head.
Ah! Hey! Spot on!
Yes!
No!
Spot on. She had an... Yeah, she had an accident and had a head injury. She was on a train which stopped suddenly and she hit her head.
No.
Never got treated for it, but apparently she suffered from migraines, blackouts, and depression for the rest of her life.
Since this head injury?
Yeah. But
I do. It doesn't make me kill people. Oh, we don't know if she's killed anyone.
That's a very good
point. Oh, well, she has.
Point.
No, she has. Oh, God. Yeah, but right, okay.
Well, we should keep the mystery.
Okay, Who knows? We just don't know.
Wouldn't this be nice if it wasn't a crime? We were just talking about a lovely nanny.
Yeah.
She's still available. She has a website.
Talking about like...
gigglinggranny.com.
Talking about hitting yourself in the head as a child. I remember my dad said to me once, he said, do you remember when I used to throw you up in the air and sometimes I'd catch you? Fuck, did that mean? He's never explained it.
ExonerateMyParenting.com. See, we all need it. So as a teenager, Nanny's father was very strict, especially with his daughters, about wearing makeup and certain types of clothing, and they were forbidden from interacting with boys. And as we all know, that leads to very healthy heterosexual relationships.
Yes.
But as a result, Nanny started to become obsessed with something. Because she was denied contact with boys.
Cock?
It's not a bad guess.
Okay.
It's not a bad guess. That's kind of the undercurrent of it.
That's the subtext, right?
She started consuming a lot
cock?
Of something.
Cock, yeah!
Matthew McConaughey, why are you here again?
Is it like opium or something?
No, this like, is such a tough question. Sorry.
Porn, okay. But like written porn for the 1920s.
Ooh, scale it down a little bit. Not porn, much
like,
more innocent.
But like written, like, oh, what's it called?
Yes.
Porn stories.
No, scale it
down. Porn stories?
Erotic stories.
erotic books.
Scale it down even further, even more innocent, because you're so close.
Okay, who? Chick-lit.
Yeah, romance.
Chick-lit.
Romance novels.
Oh.
She became obsessed with romance novels and also reading Lonely Hearts columns.
Oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
It started all very innocent. So, Nanny takes her first job in a linen factory in 1921. She's 16 years old, and there she meets Charlie Braggs, the linen king of Alabama.
Charlie Braggs!
Now, his name was Braggs, so was he the linen king of Alabama? It's hard to say. So, Charlie's a real catch. He lives with his unmarried mother.
Slut. He's just saying.
I sort of feel like we should have you for every episode. Just in the background, cock, slut.
I'm so thrilled to be able to do this because I have four children, many children, I don't know, but my 15-year-old daughter, she's like such a sort of social justice warrior, and every time anyone says anything, so the whole slut-shaming thing cannot exist in our house, quite rightly, shouldn't exist in the world. But of course, I grew up with a generation where you genuinely were, not me, obviously still a virgin, but but so it's lovely to be able to say slut slag. I'm just going to say it a few times while I'm out. That's it. Carry on, sorry.
I'm genuinely excited now, waiting for like, when's she going to say it again? I hope it's about me. Yeah, so she was a slut. And what happens with Nanny and Charlie?
Oh, we've got an unrequited.
Elope. They elope.
Have a baby.
Sex? Someone said.
Yes. They get married.
Oh.
They don't even elope. It's all in view of the unmarried mother.
The dad likes... approves the iron fisted.
Do you know what? She had left home by now. She left home at 16.
To where though?
So he's kind of out of the picture. Well, still in Alabama.
Oh, okay.
In the linen factory. I have all the facts. They're in the linen factory, Katie. Okay. Is it happily ever after?
No.
I think the linen king like tries out the linen in all the like ladies' beds. I think he cheated on her, is what I'm saying. And I'm fuming with Charlie Braggs.
Yeah. Wow, that's, I like that as a way to describe like infidelity. Trying out all the linen.
In all the what? Ladies' beds?
I don't know, isn't linen what
have you been trying out the linen? God damn it. No, I don't think Charlie does that, but stay tuned. Yeah.
She's a slut!
Nanny basically goes... Nanny goes from living with an abusive father to a manipulative and controlling mother-in-law and a husband who drinks too much and yells at her. Oh, Jesus. In 1923, they have their first child. How many kids do Nanny and Charlie have by 1927? So 1923 to 1927.
Seven.
Ooh.
That's not grammatically correct. What was it? 4 years?
4 years.
Five? No, that's not possible either. Oh, my God.
Twins, though. Yeah, it's
three. Three.
Is it none? Is it a trick question?
Oh, yeah. Oh, she does trick questions? Oh.
Watch slut. This, slut. Like,
she's stealing really your gags.
Can there really be trick questions?
No.
No.
They have four. They have four kids. Okay. Jeez, I thought that was a lot, but we started with seven, and now that just seems reasonable. Four kids. That's one a year, basically. Yeah. You know, that's a lot. So we've got an unhappy marriage, a meddling mother-in-law, alcoholism, possible brain trauma, and four kids.
Four kids under five as well. Four kids under five.
Yeah,
fucking
four kids under five. So what happens? Wild guesses.
Something's got to give.
Something's got to give, yeah. Someone dies.
I think
someone's
got to
die.
Who dies first?
Him.
This whole case is basically called Who Dies Next? All my questions are like, and then who dies? Hey,
people in the then audience, do you know this case? No, okay.
Then shut up! No, I'm but kind of shut up.
So we're all guessing together.
Yeah. So I'll give you this one. Two of the middle children die of suspected food poisoning.
Oh.
Charles gets suspicious. Smart guy. He is the linen king. He leaves and takes the eldest child, but leaves the baby.
Oh my God. Oh.
They're a lot of work.
Like that.
Aren't they?
Yeah. Like what more does it take to make a dad like take the baby thing now?
like supposedly they only like them when they get bigger.
Yeah, they only my mom says, like once they can wipe their own asses, she's happy to look after them.
What, like men or children?
No, obviously.
When does that happen? Because mine's almost six. And
oh no, that's
still
true.
A lot
that's
of
really
trouble.
True. I'm very doubtful of my nearly 11-year-old, like literally. I'm saying, do you really wipe your bum after? And then I feel it's slightly awkward to ask him to, yeah.
I just really understand that, and it stays in your head, because then whatever you do after that, you're just like, you've shit on your ass, don't you? Like you can share a really tender moment, and like we're in Hampstead Heath, la la la, but I'm like, you've shit on your ass, don't you? Like you poo on your bum right now.
I always go, do you want to have a shower? Remember to wash your bum. He's not going to be grateful for this when he grows up.
Okay.
Right.
Who dies next?
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra.
and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The baby?
No.
No, not the baby.
The mother-in-law.
The mother-in-law.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
The meddling mother-in-law. So this brings Charles back. And eventually, Nanny and Charles divorce. And then Nanny takes both kids and she leaves. Does Nanny marry again? Yes, she does.
Look, this is just you in the audience.
I know, that's great. Just...
So she marries again.
She marries again. How many times?
No.
Seven.
The magic number.
God damn it.
Well, anything,
not that many, no.
Yeah, I was going to say anything else now sounds... If you go three, we're going to go...
Yeah, you're not far off. But
five.
Ooh. Five.
Shut... No.
Five is correct.
Wow.
Charles will become the only one of Nanny Doss's husbands...
Who lives.
To what? Who lives.
No.
Very good. Huh. Very good, because Nanny Doss's other nickname is the Jolly Black Widow.
Wow.
Yes. So, husband number two. Let's meet husband number two. Now that we know all of their fates. It's Frank Harrelson. Now, she's only 24 at this point. He's 23. How do you think she meets Frank?
Oh.
What was the Tinder of the day?
The Lonely Heart.
The Lonely Hearts columns.
Oh, bless.
She's been studying them. She knows how to use them. Frank also has a drinking problem.
Oh.
I mean, we don't know anything about that. What's drinking problems?
What?
And also has a history of assault. So this guy's not...
Frank. She really has a type.
She has a type. Yes, she does. How long does this marriage last?
It can't last long if she's got to get through another five. So
7 months? Seven. I'm going for seven. Seven still.
Seven. Yeah. This time seven is working for me in the hyperbole department. I
win. Oh, is it like 11 months? 2 years? 6 months?
1 month?
16 years.
What? Wow.
I love the genuine, wow.
A marriage lasting that long.
Any marriage, yeah. Come on, Jesus. During this time, okay, this is really sad part, so we just have to get really serious.
Respectful faces.
Respectful faces. Mm-hmm. There's a tragedy, or is it a tragedy? She has her daughter, Melvina, is now grown up, and she's a daughter of her own, and she has a baby who mysteriously dies in Nanny's care. It's ruled as asphyxiation. So my question is, was there life insurance on the child?
Oh, shit. Yes.
Yeah. Could you? I mean, yeah. But with life insurance, isn't it so you can kind of keep a standard of living? Like, what was... Do you know what I mean? If you have life insurance on somebody, am I misinterpreting life insurance?
Different, there's different types. I once did an exam in this when I worked for an insurance company. And I
oh, my gosh.
I'm
just going to roll back and listen.
If you'd let me finish, I would have said, I can't remember any of it. Oh.
It's bizarre, though, because we run into this a lot on these cases where it's about, or at least starts as a life insurance thing. And it just feels like anybody could get life insurance in a time when there was no forensic.
Well, there was
it's just very dodgy.
Yeah.
So, yes, of
course. So, what year roughly are we now?
We're in... 1933, I think. I didn't write it down. Did some dodgy maths somewhere around then. Yeah. Yes, there was $500 life insurance. Who collects the money? Nanny. This really is an audience one. I like that. And I don't understand that either. Like, how does she get it?
Did she take it out?
Sorry for your loss. Here's the money. Make sure to give it to the right person. We trust you.
No, she's taking it.
You're grinning, so you must be okay.
She'll be the matriarch of the family, and it's her name.
But why not the mother?
Okay. Yeah, mother of the child.
The mother of the child rather than the grandmother.
Presumably, she's the one that's paid for it. And that's all.
Do you think she's taken out? You think she might have taken out the life insurance?
Yeah, the daughter.
I'm going to take out life insurance on the Queen. She's going soon.
It's like lamb.
I'm calling it.
She is not. I'm telling you.
Oh, really?
Dem people daily forever.
She seems to.
93, I think.
Is she 93?
Yeah.
She's seven.
She's seven. Seven is the
she
lucky
looks
number.
Terrible.
Okay.
For a 7 year old, for 93, she looks amazing.
How does this marriage end? We're only on husband number two, so we got to speed this up. Right, so this and is Nanny does.
16 years.
Food poisoning.
Asphyxiation. Food poisoning. Yeah. I'm going with food poisoning, asphyxiation.
Very good guess. She tries to do things that aren't going to be discovered. So it is poison.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
So we're in the 1930s.
We're in the 1930s.
So this is, based on a previous case we did, this is before they knew about the metallic poison.
Sorry, now we're later. We're okay. later. Because this is, sorry, I hadn't written down the dates, but I'm marking them by historical events.
Okay.
So what happens is the night that the Second World War ends...
Is he away at the war? Sorry to interrupt.
No, he's just okay. gets drunk and celebrates it and then comes home and assaults her.
Oh,
nice yeah. guy.
So and I'm not yeah. saying it's okay what she did then, but I'm just painting the picture. So she poisons him because he keeps moonshine buried in the yard. So she puts what in it?
Arsenic.
Arsenic.
Mercury.
No. Strychnine.
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 It would be strychnine. We're laughing and we're learning. Husband number three. Husband number three. How does she meet him?
Lonely Hearts.
Lonely Hearts. Yes. Why mess with a good formula? How many days after meeting him do they marry?
Three.
Seven.
Three. 3 days.
Oh, what?
She's speeding things up. This is Arlie Lanning. How soon after marrying does he die?
3 months?
Two.
Two what?
2 days.
Years.
Oh. That's not that
well
good.
Well done. So there's...
Wait, this
she's
is happening so fast
but
now.
Why?
2 days.
It's happening so fast.
2 years.
She's
no,
like
2 months. Oh, what did you say? 2 years.
Two years.
There were 2 years. Okay.
Well, you gotta imagine. She puts up with all of this for 16 yeah. years, right? And then she ends it like that, and she's like, "I got away with that. I got away with it
yeah,
again.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
you'd,
why?
You'd give it another go, right?
Why yeah. wait? If things start to go well, sour and the guy's abusive again, it's sort of like, yeah. I don't know how to take care of this.
Pull the plug off.
Again, I'm not defending it. No. I'm just saying.
And okay. And I'm not making notes, but what did she use? Asking for a friend.
For the podcast listeners, Eureka has now actually got out her glasses. She's got a pen and paper.
Pen and paper.
And a murderous look in her eyes.
Nanny's... Nanny's weapon of choice is always poison.
Okay.
Because it's always ruled as food poisoning
yeah, yeah, yeah.
or...
And so what sort
might
of
be.
Things could you use?
So he died...
I'm just... genuinely interested. No,
you can't get away with
okay,
it.
Okay, well, anyway, we must move on
because the
tell me after.
Well, it would be like, you know, it would be like liver failure, and
yeah,
it would
yeah,
be
exactly
but,
anything that.
But now stuff like that gets looked into more.
Oh fuck!
I know. No, we would have been so much better off living in this
I know,
era.
Literally, it's just
it was easier to
so
get away with
So he dies
murder.
Of suspected flu, which they blame on his. Drinking, so she kind of has that alibi. So Arlie's house was left to his sister, not to Nanny.
Ooh.
What happens next?
Sister
she
dies.
Kills the sister.
Sister dies.
Wow.
So she's dead. The house also burns down.
Wow. Is there insurance on it?
There is insurance on it, Katie. It's funny you should ask.
Wow.
Oh, and then just bonus, his mother-in-law dies. I don't even know anything about her.
Wow.
Jeez. Husband number four, Richard Morton. They make a little go of it, but what does she discover? What
he
goes
drinks
wrong?
Drinks a lot.
Not that
oh,
one
no.
for once.
Has
he's
an affair?
Gay?
He has an affair. Oh. He's checking out the linens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay.
Just saying.
So... Nanny's father dies, going back to
the original
a-hole, yeah. So Nanny's mother comes to visit. What happens next?
She dies?
No.
She does?
Not funny. It's just literally what happened.
This lady has one move.
She's such a one-trick pony, yeah. And I know that's what serial killers do, but they're really, when you think of it, like, it's really very
and
repetitive.
You know, I have to say, like, as well, when you first told us the name of this case, I was yeah. like, oh, God, loads of children are going to die. And I'm actually kind of relieved it's just adults.
I know, I'm relaxed. I'm totally yeah. chilled now.
Well,
bring me some dead adults. I'm happy.
Yeah.
Well, and wait till the ending, okay. Because that is in question. No, 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 not because, yay, no, there's dead children. No, this is about this is about grown-ups, consenting adults. Oh, jeez. So, yeah, her mother dies, but also Richard, following severe stomach cramps. Husband number five, final husband, Samuel Doss. Now, Samuel, she had her eye on before Richard had even died. Now, this guy's different. This guy's a minister.
Ooh.
And they're always good.
A man of the cloth.
He's a man of the cloth.
A man of the linen
perhaps.
I don't know what that means, but...
It's a good euphemism. It's working for you.
Now,
thank you.
Samuel is actually dealing with the death of his wife and nine children all died in a tornado.
No.
Whoa! That's so American.
It's really American.
Like, just, we don't have tornadoes here. That's like...
I know.
Wow.
Nine kids.
Most of my knowledge of tornadoes comes from The Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
I thought that was embarrassing, but someone immediately went, yes. Hooray.
Didn't you see the movie with Helen Hunt?
No. Twister.
Oh my God, Chasers. Twisters.
Twisters?
Twister.
Chasers was my idea for the name of the
film. So if you combine...
They didn't go for that. They were chasing...
It's Twister. Just Ulrika running after tornadoes. I would watch that. I would watch that.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. Right. So here's this guy that's just bereft. He's dealing with all this trauma. But what popped into my head as I'm researching this is like, if you are a serial killer and you're racking up all these things, like, it has to be weird when someone's died of natural causes. Like, do you get confused? Like, did I do that? No. That wasn't me. It's weird. Okay. That's
also,
all
he must have thought he had loads in common with her, because in theory, she's grieving.
Exactly.
And he's really vulnerable there.
Very vulnerable.
Do you think she goes sort of like, oh God, thank God I found the fifth husband? I don't think she goes straight in with my husband died, and then my husband died. Before that, my husband died. Then his mum died, then my mum died, my dad died. My husband before that died, then a couple of kids died. And will you marry me? Do you feel like, it just feels like she's probably living a bit of a lie, isn't she?
Good proposal speech.
I'm such a catch. Yeah. I've got arthritis in my hips, but apart from that, that's the only...
Oh, babe, I'm crying. Yes, I'll marry you.
So Samuel is a bit different. He's not a drinker. He's not a womanizer.
Oh.
And he falls head over heels with Nanny, but he had one fatal, literally, flaw. He wouldn't allow something in his house, and this enraged Nanny.
Ooh. Oh, chiclet.
He wouldn't.
Oh, my God! Because he's a man of God.
He wouldn't allow romance novels in the house.
Wow.
And that's mental, though, isn't it?
I know, that's really extreme.
I know, like your Mills and Boone. You got to have your Mills and Boone.
And apparently he's very boring. He's not very adventurous. So she can't even read about adventure. Again, I'm not defending her. I realize I'm like, come on.
I love that she's such a reader.
In between murdering
people. You want a literate serial killer. he's also very, very tight with his money, so he wouldn't allow her on his checking account. So she actually leaves for a while. But then comes back when Samuel agrees to add Nanny to his checking account. So, you know, that's one way to play it.
not recommending it, but like it's an idea.
That's like the rules.
And then she convinces...
No, it's not. It's like the game. I don't know. It's like one of those ones where you play hard to get anyway. Sorry, continue.
She convinces Samuel to do what?
Get out some insurance.
Hey!
Oh!
What was your relationship to insurance again?
I worked for an insurance company.
Well, there it is.
Richard Herring is about to die. He'll probably be fine.
He's going to listen to this.
Oh, God, okay. Rich, just like, if she buys rat poisoning, like if she buys rat stuff or strychnine, you just need to...
That's why you moved to the country, isn't it? So you could credibly buy... Anyway, if something happens, we're going to be in trouble. Okay. All right. So, yes. Stomach cramps. He dies. Finally.
Isn't it funny though? Like all these, we have stomach cramps like once a fucking month, like so bad. And these men have stomach cramps once and they're like, I'm going to die.
And then they actually go through with it.
So finally, the police are suspicious.
Oh.
The police get suspicious. Not a minister. We won't let you take a minister in Alabama.
Shoot,
so
yeah.
They test Samuel, and what do the tests show?
Strychnine.
He's full of arsenic this time.
Arsenic.
She dabbled in different kinds. They bring her in for questioning. What happens? What does she do?
Oh, does she get her breasts out? No. Does she try and claim he's abusive or something?
No, they wouldn't have cared, would they, in those days?
Does she poison herself?
Ooh.
She does not.
No,
pregnant, someone said.
She just grins and confesses.
Oh!
Whoa!
Oh, wow.
To it all. Apart from the baby.
Oh.
She never confessed to the murder of the baby. Yeah. She never confessed
Maybe that wasn't her, though.
It's quite possible that it wasn't.
I kind of feel like if you're like admitting to...
But doesn't it sound more realistic if you sort of go, I did all those, but not that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, because why...
Is that how you get away with killing a baby?
That makes you sound a bit sane, right?
Yeah. No, that's true. That could have just been... Could have been the game. So she also confesses to killing her mother, her sister, Dovey. I didn't even throw that one in there, did I? Sister's gone. Dovey.
We've only got an hour.
I know. So that's how she earned the nickname Grinning Granny, because there are photos of her.
Her grin?
Grinning just with the police, just sitting there like.
Wow.
Yeah. She would joke about the killings during the confessions, and she said, like, I poisoned a sweet potato pie. Just kind of joked about it.
What's the punchline?
Yeah, Katie's just like, that's just bad comedy.
You never get away with that.
And eventually, yeah, she tries to blame her crimes on the head injury that she sustained as a child. But what do we think happens to her? What's the verdict? How does this
We're
all
in the
turn
50s
out?
Now.
And we're
she's killed a minister.
1955, she is sentenced.
I think she's getting the electric chair.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Old Sparky.
Where is she?
Alabama.
Oh.
Oh, hang. Would we do hanging in Alabama?
Taylor?
I don't know.
Oh.
I mean, I know what happens to her, but I don't know. I'm sure they have the death penalty then.
Yeah.
It just feels nice. Like it, doesn't
yeah.
it? Yes, she is found guilty, but she's given a life sentence. She's not executed.
Oh, really?
No.
And why are they taking into account her head injury? How come she doesn't get killed?
I don't know, Katie. If you'd like to learn more, try the internet. I didn't think to question that. I was just like, yeah, life sentence.
So people get killed for less anyway.
Okay. And then what becomes of Nanny Doss? What do you think happens?
She goes to prison.
Early release?
Ooh. Nanny? Come forward! Wouldn't that be amazing if we had hired somebody to dress like her? Oh next time.
And a grin. No. Oh, my God.
That would be so terrifying.
No.
You got to do it.
She's long gone.
I would
long
genuinely
gone.
Shit my pants.
Me too. That would be... Wow.
Does she see out her sentence?
No.
Does she live to a ripe old age?
Does she kill loads of inmates? Does she just go on like
she does not. How many years in prison do you think she lives?
Not many.
Seven.
It's eight.
Oh!
So close. Yeah, she dies of leukemia in the Oklahoma State Penitentiary.
Why did I just go, Sorry, that's...
Still a human.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And that means that you're a human, Ulrika.
Okay.
And that's why you've
that's why I'm
been
here.
Brought here today.
Yes.
Yeah. It's kind of how we conclude
it's
every
been a
episode.
Test.
And you are human. Well done.
So prosecutors never pursued charging Doss for any additional murders because they could give her the life sentence just based on Samuel, who was husband number.
They didn't bother to even bring up those in the court.
No.
They just went for the one murder. She got prosecuted.
They just went for that one.
Okay.
Because it's a lot of... It costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's a lot of paperwork.
But most people believe that Nanny Doss might have killed up to 11 people.
Whoa.
Now, a final word from Nanny. She maintained that she was just searching for the perfect mate.
Oh, wow.
She was quoted as saying, "I'm just looking for the real romance in life."
Oh.
Yeah, that's a...
Get her on first dates. That's what I say. Get a friend. Hello, come in. It's lovely to see you.
Is he
great.
Italian now? He's French.
Oh, he's French anyway. He's bonjour, French. Bonjour. Hello. No, this is offensive. Amanda, cut that out. Nobody heard that. It's fine. I'll do it again. Get him on first dates.
Hey. Yeah. So, yeah, happy dating, everybody. There's no way. There's no cheerful way to end this. Except make sure that people are CRB checked. I don't know.
What, like your wife? Can you like get a CRB check for the person you're going to marry?
I'm going to end it with...
You can if they work in a school.
How about less mistreatment, less murder, and a little bit more...
Compassion, empathy.
And linen exploration.
Linen.
And romance.
Here's to linens.
Cheers, everybody.
Cheers, big ears.
We have 4 minutes to do our audience crime. I need Roanne.
There she brought it. Come here.
Roanne. AKA Nanny Doss. Nanny.
Okay.
So. She is grinning, just for the listeners. tell us about your crime, Roanne.
So when I was at university, I was burgled every year.
Hello.
And so first year, halls of residence, it was the usual stuff. Laptop, no. Digital camera, iPod, if anybody remembers that.
Oh, shit.
Second year, we were at the Easter holidays, so we went actually in our house. So I had my electronics with me. So they went for my musical stand and my passport.
Oh, God.
And third year, student house again, my IKEA desk and chair...
IKEA, am very valuable. Bearing in mind,
easy to dismantle.
Antiques.
Yeah. And also a second-hand Dyson. And nobody else's stuff was stolen. There were 3 people that lived in the house. And I, what I want to know is, am I just unlucky, or was it the same perp targeting me?
Totally.
Were your flatmates in on it?
I think so.
Oh, absolutely. Did it sort of happen? Oh, you did say it wasn't right around the same time of the year. You said one was Easter, another time was... So
yeah,
it
one
like
was Easter. Yeah, one was...
Boyfriends,
sort of
girlfriends, anything like...
No, well...
Any enemies?
Nobody, well, no one that I can think of.
You say that. Was it your parents wanting you to come back home?
I mean, possibly. They did take the passport.
Yeah, don't travel. You can't travel. It's shocking. Yeah. And you reported it to police and all that?
Do you know what? I only the first one, I think, because I couldn't really...
Got a bit bored after that.
I couldn't claim... Well, I wasn't going to claim the music stand or the IKEA desk off the insurance. So I got... But the
it was
iPod
a very nice music stand.
The iPod one was great because I had an old iPod and I got a Nano because of the insurance. So it did me a favor.
Everyone's a winner, babe.
Do you know who it was? It was Steve fucking Jobs. Because that's how they work. They're like, time for a new one, Rowan. I don't know about the furniture. He probably just needed a new desk. He was cheap.
It's suspicious that they didn't take your flatmate's furniture or stuff.
No.
That's like that your flatmates gave some keys to some people and they were like, but leave my room.
But honestly, mine was the shittest desk. It was just a bit of plastic with some poles. My friend had a proper wood desk. Mm. But I guess you can't get
you
that.
You can't.
I wonder if the first one was genuine because valuables were taken, and then the next two were just like a really bad joke. Did you have some
the second
really
one,
horrible
they did
friends?
Turn stuff upside down because my I probably shouldn't say that, but my flatmate was me and my very good friend, and then we lived with a third person that we weren't that good friends
third
with.
Third person.
It was the third person that did it.
Well, my other friend got back to the house first, realised it had been turned over, went into the third person's room to check if things had been stolen. She was a very timid accountancy student.
Mm-hmm.
They'd upturned her drawers onto her bed and there were some exciting things that had been... upturned and then she said, "Have you been in my room?" And he was like, "No." I don't know if anything's been taken.
Well, that was very polite.
So you gave her the dignity of
thinking that no one saw a dildo.
Now it's on a podcast.
I think that's what matters. Well, I'm sticking with Steve Jobs. Any other thoughts, Hannah?
How big were the dildos? I don't know. I mean, like, I want a picture.
I didn't see them myself, but there was a whip.
Ooh, girl. Okay. I think it's probably Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
I'm going for the parents still. Mm. Genuinely. Yeah.
Overbearing parents. I mean, lovely parents that love you.
You know what, Rowan? Why don't you go give them a call?
I will.
All right. Thank you. We solved that. Thanks, Rowan. Rowan, you have one. Hang on, sister.
That's an empty
this
bottle.
This is empty. You have run.
This one.
Yeah, you've won your own bottle of Princess Prosecco. Enjoy it. Wait a minute, are you gluten intolerant? Well, that's not a problem. It's gluten-free, isn't it? Ulrika, thank you so much for being here. You're amazing. What have you got going on? Is there anything that you'd like to tell us about? Anything you want to plug?
Generally nothing. Just disciplining my children. Cooking and...
Will you share with us?
Oh, yes.
Could we post on our socials your recipe for cinnamon buns?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Deal. I follow you on Instagram.
You need to follow me. I won't be they won't verify me. I'm not fun and exciting enough, I don't think. They don't know who I am.
What?
Just saying. If Instagram are listening.
I mean, I'm really pleased, because the thing is, they haven't, like, we sort of got in contact with you over Instagram, and and they haven't verified you, and the moment you walked in, I was like, it is her, this is fucking great, because it could have been anyone.
Oh my God.
it's the actual, right way. Yeah.
Not the, like, News of the World version.
Hello, I'm Ulrika Johnson. I used to be a surgeon.
Ulrika, thank you very much. We've been Drunk Women Solving Crime. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and on Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. Also, if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then please write it in that review and we'll solve it. Thank you so much to Acast for hosting us, and thank you for listening.
You've heard the podcast, now buy the merch. There's a full range of certified organic cotton t-shirts, jumpers and hoodies, all on the website. Just go to drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.